Ich freue mich sehr, hier auf der Bühne von Digital Courage die Gesprächsrunde "Eine digitale Währung mit Eigenschaften von Bargeld, ist das möglich?" ankündigen zu dürfen und übergebe für die Moderation an Julia Witte von Digital Courage und einen Applaus bitte für unser Panel.
Ja, vielen Dank. Wir werden versuchen, auch eine interaktive Diskussion daraus zu machen. Also am Anfang werden wir erstmal ein bisschen grundsätzlich darüber sprechen, was wir uns unter digitalem Bargeld eigentlich vorstellen. Und danach seid ihr dann alle herzlich eingeladen, auch mitzudiskutieren und eure Fragen mit einzubringen. Wir machen jetzt eine kurze Vorstellungsrunde. Ich bin Julia Witte von Digital Courage und werde versuchen, darauf zu achten, dass hier jeder zu Wort kommt auf dieser Bühne.
On this stage. And maybe Christian can start with a few sentences about yourself. Yeah, I'm Christian. I am a co-founder of Gnutala and GNU maintainer of Gnutala. My name is Lena Simon. I work at Digital Courage and as a philosopher of the net, and have in my book that came out in May also about, I wrote about digital cash. Yeah, and I am Padaloon. I founded Digital Courage, at that time Föbot, and I'm happy to be here today in a round where it's possible to talk about money in the CCC. I would like to start with the question, what do you need digital cash for? We have cash. What would be possible with digital cash that's not possible with current cash, with the physical cash? What could you do with it? Since 100 years, Rina Tangens and I are accompanying the digital world that is trying to communicate with each other, meaning in the late 70s, early 80s, we built a mailbox system, and we realized very early that everything is great, but for instance, people who produce content and help that people can communicate don't have an opportunity to make money. And we thought about how would it be if we had digital cash that I could just transmit digitally without traces, just like granny gives her grandson 10 euro. Nobody notices it. I've worked on this for a long time, and I failed time and again. Do you know any concrete examples? I think about driving a car with electric cars, charging it doesn't work anymore if you're not without being surveilled that you've charged your car. There is no charging station that works with cash. There are more and more cases with online news or magazines on track their readers online because they don't want to pay. And if digital payments would be easier and possible anonymously, then new business models could develop, and we could go out of this age that is completely based on digital capitalism and surveillance capitalism, move out of it, and actually pay for the products sensibly. Really actually trade with each other. Concretely, that would mean I open the page Zeit Online or Spiegel, and it doesn't say, please make an abo for a whole year. And I think, but I just want to read this one article. Then there would be, please pay, I don't know, 7 cent, something, 10, 15, 30, whatever, how long that article is. It will always be more than you want to pay. Okay, 30 cent. And in the digital cash, you could do this, you could pay this quickly, uncomplicatedly, and rapidly. Would that be the model for you? Yeah, model number one. Yeah, actually, don't forget one use case. We have a lot of free software developers. If you want to get donations and not be dependent on the proprietary portal where proprietary software is used, which is against the ideal of free software, just donations for free software project, that also makes sense. Okay, then let's talk a bit more about what that means for us, that you go a bit into the definition, maybe also differentiation. Does that mean it solves it? The new physical cash? There will be no more physical cash? Oh, good Lord, no. The rustling of physical paper when paying, everybody knows that's wonderful. Coins clinging is also beautiful. How beautiful that is. And jokes aside, of course, in real life, we want to be able to pay without digital force. So obviously that it's not going to be gone. It's just an add-on to the analog cash. What are the requirements for a good digital cash? There are already lots of models which are about paying for stuff on the internet. But what is the requirement for good digital cash? Well, I would say, a moment, somebody has a microphone and, no, that's the wind. Oh, how terrible. Can somebody please stop the wind? Ah, so it should be based on free software. It should be anonymously usable. It should work for very small amounts of money. It would be great if it wouldn't make money laundering and the black market super easy. Even with cash, there are mechanisms that help that you cannot transport an infinite amount of money across borders, because just the bag is going to be too big. And that's a factor. With digital cash, you have to make sure that similar mechanisms exist there, at least if you want to stay within the social contract. It is very important with the analog cash. He said a very important point, finality of the transaction, that it cannot be pulled back and that you cannot spend a coin twice. The double spending, even with the analog money, it doesn't happen. That could, of course, happen. And I would think it's not that bad if the state regulates it, if it's coupled with a currency, because all that stuff, all those decisions, the state, that's politics for me, and it's supposed to stay politics. And there the point comes in. At the moment, all the digital payment methods are connected to companies who want to do surveillance capitalism, big firms, who then do whatever they want with the data, and that's a huge problem. It has to be regulated by the state somehow, and at the same time, not dependent on companies. I would like that we would just go through the list, okay, because we have a few things we want to talk about for the introduction, and then quickly we're going to go to the interactive part with your questions. So there are supposed to be mechanisms against money laundering, mechanisms against tax evasion, also currency speculation. Did we have that already? Well, it can't be like that you have the option to send money in large quantities across the globe and crash economic systems, which someone did. That's not supposed to happen. We have to build it in a way that our society doesn't break on the fact that we have digital cash. The idea is to secure society. What I said, you have to stay within the social contract. That means also I don't want libertary fascists who make their own money and game with it. That's not the point. The point is that we can trade peacefully and make our life easier, more beautiful, and more conducive to data protection. Please repeat for the stream. He said pay quickly is important. PayPal would take that long. Thank you. Since I don't use PayPal, I didn't know that. And also, it's also a requirement. It has to be easy to use. simple to use, but we already had it. The requirement number one is anonymity. Definitely, that it's not part of a big. What do we mean by anonymity? There's always somebody paying and somebody receiving the money. It's pretty clear if when I pay as a private person, then I want to have the data protection. But when a company earns money, it's supposed to pay taxes legally, and normally earning money has high esteem societally. I don't need to be ashamed for it, so I can be transparent, at least towards the state. Yeah, that's true, but the grandson who gets money from his grandmother, both parties can be anonymously. I don't want a financial currency where there's a difference between people and companies. It needs to work between entities. I would differentiate. With the grandson, there is a good trust. But when we talk about a business relationship, I want to protect myself from double spending. I can't just assume the customer is going to be honest. I need a final transaction which cannot be reversed, and I have my money. But when I give it to my grandson, he can just take my wallet. It needs extra security layers. What is, I don't want to go into this. What about theft? Somebody hacks my wallet and steals my digital money. Our response is pretty clear. If you do it anonymously, it needs to be under your responsibility. And if it's under my responsibility, I can also lose it, obviously. So like with physical cash. Yeah, like with physical cash, I can't go to the bank and say, my wallet was stolen, give me back my 100 euro that were in it. It's your own responsibility. I need to make sure that my cash is secure with me. But obviously, as opposed with physical cash, with digital cash, I can make a backup if I'm technically versed enough. It needs to be easy enough for everybody. Now, we have a lot of requirements already. Do cryptocurrencies fulfill those requirements? I actually don't want to talk about cryptocurrencies because it doesn't have to do anything with money. That's like gold. It's like mining gold against the environment. Terrible with that stuff. You can. It's not money. Please just drop it. Somebody screaming from the crowd. Yeah, but that's also dirt. It's not about digital cash. It's not about speculations or gaming. I want that people who do honest work get honest money and live from that, and not that they game the system somehow and think that their own laziness has to be financed by that. Christian Knuthaler, what's the difference to cryptocurrencies? What are you doing differently? First, we do something less. We're only a payment system. If I look at a common cryptocurrency, there is the option to do transactions, but at the same time, there's always a currency constructed in some way, and it replaces the central bank who creates currencies and the transaction system. Knuthaler only does transactions. We stay only there. And with the Thaler, you can pay in euro, in dollar, in francs, or in Bitcoin. It's just a payment system. I can use it for all currencies that exist and just digitalize those currencies. It means we do less than cryptocurrency, but we do that part very well. Can you tell a bit more about how that works in practice and where you already use it? Yes. On the University of Bern, we already have one deployment, which is supposed to get bigger to Basel. And at the BFH in Basel, you pay with francs and you can exchange them in the BFH in e-francs, and it's going to be another currency. I go from my francs cash, transmitted to the system person has it in escrow, and for the e-money that's circulating, he has the normal money on his account. And when somebody has the e-money, he can transmit it. And the receiver is identified. The one that pays stays anonymously, cannot be linked with anything else. Every transaction is isolated. I only know a user has paid. I don't know which user that was. But the receiver is identifiable and can then have that money be paid out, for instance, on his Giro account or something else. And tell me concretely, where is that used already? How is it accepted? Well, on the University of Bern, in the cafeteria, you can exchange money for e-franken and use it there. In the cafeteria, you give the cash to real people. We're working on it that it's going to be automated somehow. But right now, a person gets that. You get a QR code, which you can charge your wallet. And then with your wallet, you can go to the to buy books, electronics, food with this. Books from Sibylle Berg. Two books, one by Sibylle Berg, and there is another one by our blockchain professor, blockchain short and sweet, which you can which you can also get, but it didn't sell well yet. May I also ask something? Assuming, I don't want to announce something, but assuming we have this shop, at the next Congress, we would say when we open the shop, we want that we can also pay in Thaler. How would that work?
Normally, if you do something in a bigger range, not only at a university, you usually need some e-money issue license or a banking license. So first, you must find a bank which operates a system, so you can have your account there and with the e-money, and which is also responsible for customer relations and money laundering and stuff like this. So do we need banks or yeah, talk with banks, yeah. Ask them, would that be something? Educate them. Yes, do educate the banks, and then we can use your Giro account to transfer the money to the Thaler Bank, which gets the e-money. You could pay with it. There's also already an integration into Pretix, which you all used to buy your ticket for the camp. There is a Thaler integration already. It just has to be activated. There are plugins for Joomla, for other platforms. There are many which already exist. you can also ask write new ones, and yeah, as it's said, open source. And if a bank accepts it or would support it, you could also buy your Congress ticket. And how's this test case going so far? Well, not it works, but not everyone uses it. There is an iOS wallet, and there have many people in Switzerland have an iOS phone. So there is already a large iOS user base. It's not that much the case here, but as soon as we're out of beta, we should also be able to use it on other phones, on other platforms. So you also plan to use it for other use cases? Yes, it's we want to deploy it in Basel as a regional currency. They have some physical local money at the moment, and it's planned to use Thaler as well. So we had cases we spoke about which are online cases. Do you see an advantage for shops which are on-site in Basel? What's the advantage for them to take Thaler? Well, there is a limited amount of physical money. You cannot just have more of it. And once this is all in circulation, you would have to make more. It's an association, local association, which provide it, and they cannot provide more. And another advantage would be that customers could just buy electronically, because that's coming more and more, and it would be nice. And the Netzbond Association would also like to use it online, of course. They would also like to provide it for local e-commerce, like food delivery, which was not an option so far, because if I can only pay with physical money, that's not that useful. The Netzbond, the association is called Verein Soziale Ökonomie, and it's part of Netzbond. So also
so this is a special case. You just said that you can connect it to any of the currencies, and it could be original currencies like this one in Basel. Yes, and next step is we talk to the Swiss regulation MINFAC institution, and the system in principle falls under the sandbox regulation. So we could run this without needing a banking regulation, without needing the license. So the regulator says you don't need a license as long as you keep within a certain set of conditions, such as having less than 1 million accounts, customers. So there are, though, more regulation steps which we do need to prepare, but we hope we will start within 6 months in Switzerland once we complete those steps. But you speak of the regional currencies? Nope, I really speak of a Swiss system which will run these Thaler operations. We already have a reference customer who I think I'm allowed to say, the Wochenzeitung said they would like to accept donations within Gnutaler. Oh, who doesn't know this one? It's a cool newspaper. But that means in the near future, in a bigger scale, on a bigger scale, in Switzerland. Bigger in the sense of we have the rules of the sandbox, which limit the volume that we can offer, but it's a good sandbox. It's a good environment to try it out with real money. You mean the research is already looking? Well, if I have a store physically on site, is there an advantage? Do you see an advantage for me to accept Gnutaler as a form of payment? Well, I personally, in principle, I defend physical cash. So you don't need to use Gnutaler, but if people are coming with Visa, MasterCard, where you would pay 2-3% in fees, and you can't use open software, you need to submit to security checks, etc., etc. You need to confirm that you need to do the sign-up, you need to confirm that you save the customer data correctly, all sorts of other sign-up fees. You have advantages in terms of payment and costs. And yes, even today, that's an advantage for the seller. If I'm able to pay by card, as many people don't carry as much cash as before, yes, I can. But now you could do it with digital cash as well. And if something makes the customer happy, it makes the seller happy. And you have to add the costs of credit cards. There is someone said it before, there is a finality problem. With a credit card, the system may come and say, oh, that's the wrong transaction, that wasn't authorized, so it's charged back. And you may need to pay another fee. So credit cards are not final, and you may have extra costs after the fact. With Gnutaler, that's not the case, everything is final. So what's the cost of one Taler? I mean, there is a whole organization behind it, and so Visa and MasterCard also need to have money to exist. So what's the case with the Taler? So on the one hand, you can ask, what are the technical costs? What does it cost to make a transaction? CPU, electricity, memory, etc. So for one transaction, we calculated about 0.001, but it's difficult to look at the details and really get down to the nitty-gritty. In reality, the costs are higher because you have people to you need to run the whole thing, and you have a company. So you could say, well, the market will take care of it. We need to be competitive so that people will change to us. And it's free software. And if one provider suggests or offers very high prices, With GNU Thales, someone else or a bank could say, I'm going to run the system for less, for cheaper. So there's less chance of a technical monopoly that just takes profit out of the system. And additionally, with Visa, there are costs for getting a new card. This transaction was fraudulent. Since in our case, it's confirmed cryptographically, you don't need to identify the customer at the time of the transactions. So there is just a cryptographic signature that confirms this is the person who paid. You don't need to confirm with manually if the person is the real person, which is not as reliable as a cryptographic signature, which is easy to confirm. Every once in a while, still, a customer comes in and says, that wasn't me, I didn't authorize this. And these costs, we don't have all of them. So the technical transaction costs are very small, very low, and there will be a fair competition. So if you can, if it's taken, then it's gone. And yes, it's just like physical cash. Do you have the feeling? These new forms of cash, new forms of payment, they have something to do with with trust. You need to be able to communicate this to the customers, to the people who pay with it, and the stores that will use them, and the banks with who you would work together. What's your impression? Where are points where you need to convince still? I think for sure, if we run this in the sandbox, then it's telling people we're not really regulated, which isn't exactly inspiring confidence. So ideally, it would be great if a small bank like the European Central Bank would introduce this sort of system. But that's not to be expected. I think the European Central Bank will need to pay their bills first. You might have seen the previous talk. So in that respect, it would be good to work with a bank that has a good reputation. The other point is we are free software. You can all look at the code. And I hope you do responsible disclosure if you find any problems. But at least you can confirm that it's not a bad and it's all written well, or not.
Well, our catalog of requirements, we realized existing cryptocurrencies don't fulfill our requirements. GNU Thaler, we talked about extensively now. What about the digital euro? So we already talked about it a bit. There is a proposal for a law that the EU Commission a few weeks ago brought out. It can't be nothing because they didn't call me. Well, with the digital euro, I have a lot of worries and doubts if they can do it to actually make it anonymous. That they say that, but I don't see that. I don't see it really. Well, with the digital euro, they announced two modes. Online mode, where they survey us totally. I buy that. Carsten's already said, we as BS at the CBC projects, we see the opportunity for absolute control. I buy that. And then the offline mode, they promise total anonymity just like with physical cash. Yeah, sure. And I say, if they do it, I expect that a few of you are going to get really, really rich because they want to make it on the basis that it's going to be a trusted computer model and it doesn't work to copy anything. And we know that copy protection worked really, really well for music and videos. Nobody ever copied a movie in the last 20 years, and you will never be able to copy a euro. So yeah, everything is fine. You explained that really well. Okay. Well, if they actually make it anonymously, I would think it would be great when that would come. But honestly, I don't see it coming. And the Thaler, I see that coming. And it fulfills from my wish list, actually, I have all check marks. So I'm a fan. Lena, then I would like to go into the audience and ask you, what would you want from a digital money, digital cash? I just want briefly to say I have the feeling there are very intense opinions in this room, and as a herald, it's my job to keep the peace on the stage. So I want to ask you, bring solidary critique and stay short so other people can also ask questions. So I have one here. Yeah. Salut. Well, it was said that the receivers can always be identified, and I wanted to ask if that is system-wide or only nationally, or if small communities can have capsuled currency systems in which there's no information to the outside. Yeah, yeah, very good question. So the precise formulation is receivers of money are identifiable. That means the system owner of the instance can define by from what amounts, and the data is at the system owner's place who needs to comply to legal regulations. And for instance, the people who run the NetBot system assume that within the NetBot systems, you shouldn't identify anyone ever, but the companies who want to get the money in francs, they need to be members and they can be identified. That means they have a very limited system where only the members of the club can convert it back into money. That's one option. Or if you run it in a country with a banking license, the regulator usually says from what amounts on you need to collect which information. They're going to do it, and they're going to be at this system owner, not globally. Each the information is always separate, and it's configurable. That means in no case it's all going to be the same. What do you want from a digital cash? One of the most important things, let's say the big banks, the Sparkasse, the Raiffeisen Bank, and I don't know, however, the German bank, they own such a system. Then as a customer of Sparkasse, I want to trade with the Raiffeisen customer, like, and with the Deutsche Bank customer, and back in all directions with all banks. It doesn't matter who does the GNU instances. That has to be regulated so that the banks don't build a monopoly, like Deutsche Bank always tends to do. Yeah, we would call it a federated system between exchanges. It's not implemented completely, but we're thinking about it. We have structures for it. The main problem is, rather, if I make a payment to you and you are a customer at a different system, then your KYC information is with them. And to get the KYC again, to make the payment to you, is extremely expensive. That means there needs to be a transfer between the banks. So the bank that has the KYC data of the customer also can do the transaction. It's we want to do it. There will be the opportunity if there are several owners for the same currency. It doesn't matter for the customer. I would also like to add, I would like to that also the bank doesn't know for what I paid. Well, it doesn't know that anyway. What you pay for, you have your anonymity. It does not know that in any case. I'm going to collect more questions, or? Yeah. I have three. Please, after that, stop a moment, or else too many. I cannot remember all of you. Okay. Until the 70s, with most banks, you could open an account without your ID. So society can sustain it. Even if we don't have money laundering controls in the mechanisms of the financial systems, it works. And if we look at the money, at the history of the surveillance state, it starts usually saying we want to enforce the social contract through added technical mechanisms. When we say, yeah, we want digital cash, that additionally the social contract rule is included that opens up the door to further surveillance. But we can also say digital money, Monero, Zcash, Lightning Network, these things have no societal rule, but we know that society can bear completely anonymous money even without those rules, without those regulations, and it works. I would say they also have rules. They had rules. They were written by people who made those rules, for instance, to create money. We are under the rule of a group that is legitimized a little less, because it's not our government, but a group of programmers. There's still a law with Bitcoin. We still have Bitcoin Classic versus Bitcoin Fox. Those are social decisions by groups who make rules. You can't say that those networks have no rules. Rules regarding money laundering, that is. But what we also see, like with Monero, this is the go-to currency for cyber criminality. Crypto, Trojana, for all those activities. And there is a reason why we find the criminals in those networks primarily. And personally, I think it would be justified and just if I have a lot of income, I should pay taxes. And if somebody takes a child hostage, that he has the option to get a lot of money unidentified. I want to add, the beauty of the Thaler is that the Thaler doesn't mandate that. It just gives the option. Not the technicians who build the technology should put in the ethical and moral values in. That should stay a political and societal dialogue, and that we negotiate that politically. How, from what amount on, is something tracked? That's a question of how we differentiate, how we create this. And that's what I like about the Thaler, because I say this needs to be done in a political negotiation. It gives the opportunity to build that by society. So you could say, I open this option for surveillance at this point. You have to say that. But of course, from what amount, what information I collect, that stays open. Well, let's say cash, physical cash, paper. The printer can print different bills in whichever amounts. The government said the maximum is 500 euro because then so and so much money fits into a small luggage that you can bring across a border. That's what we can bear, and more than that is more difficult, and you can do the same thing technically. Further questions? I think GNU-Thaler are very fascinating, but what I'm asking myself, the idea is that you can pay in different currencies. Is it like that the GNU-Thaler is its own currency and you exchange one buying it, or is GNU-Thaler euro, dollar, Bitcoin in one? And a Thaler wallet, you would have coins of different currencies. They would be shown with the respective currency. And it's not a new currency which also has an exchange rate. GNU-Thaler has no base currency. It really is just coins by the different currencies underneath. That means currency speculation is not possible because there is no exchange rate with which I can speculate. Well, all currencies, I can always speculate between euro and dollar. Yeah, but it's not the object of speculation, the GNU-Thaler. No, you cannot buy new coins. Okay, I had one more back there. Ah, that was already answered. Then I continue here. What about metadata? Can the government say your patterns are somewhat suspicious, how you use money or use the Thaler? You are suspicious, you use GNU-Thaler, and every evening you take 1,000 euro and put them somewhere. What about that? Well, every evening you take 1,000 euro, the government can see because it comes from your bank account. In the GNU-Teiler, perhaps, depending on if you use Tor or something, but yeah, metadata needs to be secured separately. We're not avoiding that. We just do the payment system. If people use VPN, Tor or something, that's on top. Also, if we get things delivered to my home address, the company knows who I am. Metadata needs to be secured separately, depending on the transaction. You can't do it generally for all things. But there are no patterns other than that. I only see you do a transaction, then it's just that one transaction that I see. That you did the same transaction yesterday, I don't see that. Because all transactions of the same person are not linked. So the system does not see if it's belonging to the same person, if you are repeated. You are the only one that sees that. And if you delete it on your device, it's gone. And histories are difficult, except if you have income as a vendor or you have very, very interesting admin things.
So, two small questions for understanding. You said several times KYC, I don't know what this is. And the second question is about the sandbox thing in the Switzerland with 1 million, is it 1 million users or 1 million Swiss francs in the system? So there is 1 million in the francs. The number of users is not important as long as there's enough money for everyone. So that's the entire volume. So we can see what happens. We could see if we have to regulate, etc. This is only for Switzerland, and this is only for this project. So the second question, KYC stands for Know Your Customer. That's what banks have to do. They have to know the customers so they know what's happening. And even in Switzerland, there aren't any anonymous accounts anymore. How about currencies? If you have money taler in many different currencies, how about currency speculation? Because I mean, I could move this taler quite easily from one to another. Well, to exchange a currency from one currency to another one, you need somebody who buys or somebody who converts it, or a friend who you can share with, or you can exchange it with. But that's not the speculation. Speculation is I have a new currency and I try to pump and dump or something like that. But exchange, we wouldn't consider it as a speculation. There seems to be a next question. A general question. If I say I charge 100 euro and I lose my wallet, then they are gone. But these 100 euros are still with the escrow, with the operator. I would like to see what happens. So, is it just profit or what happens with them? Because you cannot just take it out because you don't know if I lost the wallet or not. Well, all money that we give out has an expiry date. After N years, the coins expire. It's like a series of the banknote, and your wallet will automatically exchange it into new coins. But if this does not get done, then this is public. So with all good crypto, the keys have an expiry date. Normally, you won't lose it because you're online from time to time and it gets automatically updated. But if you lose it or you shredded it, then this new series will not happen, or this new series will not, will not happen. What the operator does with it, or the escrow does with it, so it's not our business. I mean, you can also destroy physical money, which would be an income for the general public. You could light your cigarette with money, but yeah, it's not that healthy. I found the last idea interesting with the expiry date. I thought about the Freigeld, free money, so money which got it would be an interesting idea for physical money, so nobody could hoard money for always. And one of the idea is that people only can exchange it
Well, we also spoke to an initiative from Bern who want to do a different thing, sustainable coin. But for them, they're still watching how it's going to be in Basel, and they're checking how it goes. There's some people who do want to use it as a shrinking sort of money, but there is no prescription how the economic model has to be. Okay, my actual question is, because we were talking about requirements, I have a requirement that I don't see completed. It was mentioned before. The European Central Bank has named the option of offline peer-to-peer payments. To be honest, I thought that's a very good requirement to not have to be connected to the internet, and so that I can exchange money with others. In my opinion, that's an extremely dangerous one. My question is, since you already sketched a problem, which I understood, if it is in principle impossible to solve this problem, because if I understood correctly, it's the double spending problem behind it. Yes, it's the double spending problem. It contradicts the cap theory, but it's even worse than that. The European Central Bank says they want to solve the inclusion problem. What they mean is we want to replace, or to be able to replace, the physical cash with digital cash. Because if you can do that, you don't need the physical cash anymore. If you can't, then we have a reason to keep physical cash. So you enter the competition with physical cash, and that's bad. We should keep physical cash, which is great. I want to, if I meet someone physically, personally, I want to be able to give him bills or coins. I don't need to have anything digital. We already have a great solution for that, so that's been working for a long time. Please, everyone applaud. However, the fact that it's technically extremely difficult doesn't even enter the equation, is what I want to say. You should mention that in practice, you're in a situation where you don't have enough cash with you, even though you want to return the 50 euro bill, and wouldn't it be useful to have that in your digital wallet? So I think that the desire exists. I can understand that. I can also understand that, but I would say no. We should not be getting used to not having cash on you. The resistance is lost. So imagine the electricity falls out and you're not able to do anything anymore. You can't be able to pay anything. In that situation, if everyone had been accustomed to not having any cash with them, so they don't have to carry it over the border in cash, that would be terrible. Does that answer your question? He said yes, it's answered. He wants to think about it more. Hello. One requirement that I might suggest is, with cash, it is possible outside of governmental control to exert an amount of personal freedom outside of the limits of legality. And I want to give the example of a person who, for example, refused the military service and left the country and still wants to have the possibility to use their money. So it's the topic accessibility, right? Everyone can have cash, even though due to other reasons, I don't have an account with a bank. He mentioned the case, the government said, we want to suppress this person, repress this person. And in that case, with Knutala, you have the option, the money that I have in my electronic wallet, no one can take. Well, except if police takes the telephone away, but it is like physical cash. It's not tied to the person. You can take the account, but the money that you have on your phone wallet cannot take. The government can't even say how much you have if you don't spend it. So if you say, I'm on the run and I already have some money, then you're good. But if you say, I want to earn money, and the system says you're a terrorist, then you're out of luck with us. But I still need to find someone who, for example, exchanges it into physical cash. Well, if I have electronic cash, then I can spend it. Yeah, I can spend it, but I can also spend it with someone who accepts physical or accepts digital cash and returns physical. And what's with the other case? Someone who doesn't have an account with the bank because he has no mailing address. Would that person have access to Knutala or not? It depends. It's a regulatory problem. Which information we request from the banks that they collect from the customers. So if the bank says or needs to have a mailing address for the customer, then I can't do it. If the bank only needs to give me the personal ID number, and that fulfills the KYC regulations, then they can have money or get the money without a mailing account or a bank account. But how do we form those regulations so that we are inclusive? But in an optimal world, that would be sufficient. But I do see points, for example, people or humans who have no permission to work, if they're working black. And also there's still the question, how long it takes until it's legalized to buy our drugs. I do see questions. But do we need to put those societal problems on the payment system? And the tax money, or the untaxed money, is not taxed. It means not insured, not socially insured, easily coerced. Everything disappears, which is good, such as black work. And where do they work? Usually for people who already have a lot of money. And with drug criminality, it is the question. As a society, if we say drugs are a huge problem and we need to fight it, great. Or if we say, no, it's fine, we can legalize these kinds of drugs, we need to solve this politically. I don't think we should say that our payment system needs to respond to my political allegiance. I'm not trying to say that we should solve the problems where they occur and solve them sensibly, but sadly that's not how optimal our politics are. I don't completely refuse analog cash, but I do personally have to admit that I am torn. Well, analog cash should stay, it can stay. Technically, we just try to combine legal concerns. At the same time, it would be good if legalized person had an opportunity to pay not only with analog cash, but also to digitalize their cash. Let's ask the audience, how much anonymity, according to you, what do you think? How much anonymity is necessary?
We only have a minute, right? 2 minutes. But there were more questions. Then let's do those two questions, okay? Thanks. I hope they're simple. Yeah, it's similar to the discussion that we already have a solution for offline payment, which is called cash. A question to Lena. What I didn't see in your scenario, where you don't have 50 euro, where it's more probable that you don't have 50 cash euro, physical cash euro, it could be that you don't have 50 gnu thaler euro. So for me, it's the same probability that I have to switch between one or the other mode. Well, it depends on how dominant one or the other system becomes. If everybody just pays with gnu thaler, it could be reality, but I want you to keep your cash. Yeah, I would also want that. And the other thing is, on the side of legality, it always has limits in the sense that at some point, when the difference becomes too big, those transactions need to happen in as barter, like things against things. If I want to avoid that, I need to do a lot of surveillance. Thanks for that. Do we have time for the last question? Sure. That was a yes. Yeah, thanks a lot for the interesting discussion. One short comment to that about how the technology is thought about politically. More than 20 years ago, Lessing wrote Code Beats something. I think it's too easy for us to say, hey, we keep out of this. No, we're not keeping out of it. Our values are coded into it, but the specific parameters, what is legal, which information is collected, what does the money politics do, we are limited to a certain point where we say, yes, we have the value data protection, we have the value legality, transparency of income, we have the value saving the environment, it needs to be efficient, but we're not going to say what the money politics says, which drugs are illegal. Those are other problems that are not ours. Yes, but the question is, we are in a system where I would, which I would agree with personally. But let's imagine we're in a different continent, a different system, and different country where we don't have democratic situations, we don't have participation, and I mean there is no perfect democratic system, and it's part of activism that if you don't have completely to work within that frame, I hope you understand how I mean that. That was only the comment. And the other question, I actually wanted to ask the question that you asked to you. I didn't fully get the thing with the anonymity, because on the one hand, we want anonymity, if that is even possible. When I spend money, yes, if that is even possible. And on the other hand, we have the examples that you mentioned, money laundering, drug criminality, there are many, many other, national security, terrorism, the classics. How do we want to implement this technically, the limits of legality? Well, technically, we can do it in a way that rules of anonymity are completely different for the one that spends the money than for the one that gets it. The one who spends it has anonymity, but the one who gets it is transparent and identifiable. Yeah, but at a different time for a different purpose. If you spend the money again, you're anonymous again at the second exchange. So whenever you get something transparent, yeah, it works with digital signatures. Oh, and I wanted to thank you for the comment or the hint towards the question, what happens in an authoritarian system? This is, I think, a very important question to think about in the moment where you build a technology in a paternalistic way, it can help the bad guys. And even there, it's important to not close your eyes to that. But you have to say that Chinese people build their CBDC in a way that everything is transparent by the state and can be surveilled. It means the authoritarian systems would never use Tala or let them be. Well, I want to say one last sentence in the end. Move slow and repair things. Yeah. And I
Thanks a lot. First of all, thanks a lot for the discussion, for the talk. Thanks a lot to you guys for your questions. We realized there are many question marks remaining. I want to point out those two links, which I put in there dirty and quickly into a presentation. But on the page of Digital Courage, you find an article from that book about digital cash. And on the page of Tala.net, you find a lot more information about how Tala works. And you can also follow how the new projects in Switzerland are going to get going. And there is also a CET commission from 2013. They have a long chapter about digital cash. It was discussed in the government, but it was put into a corner because I didn't want to agree with other packages. Then an applause for our discussion round, and we will be signing off here.
Und auch Applaus für alle, die so viele gute Fragen gestellt haben, das Thema weiter vertieft haben. Vielen Dank, dass ihr euch so aktiv beteiligt habt an dieser Gesprächsrunde.